Hello, everybody, and welcome to the DecimalProducts.com Video Games Podcast. As always, the podcast is brought to you by a fuck ton of sponsors, but today we are brought to you by the Game Shark Store. The Game Shark Store is the only place around we can choose from their fully comprehensive selection of video game accessories, which includes stuff from Mad Catz, Psytech, and Cyborg at fantastic prices. It's where you get your fight sticks, it's where you get your custom controllers, it's where you get your weird things that you stick on your controller to make it look something out of Metal Gear. Everything. So if you want some awesome accessories, please head over to Game Shark Store, click a link at the bottom of the page or any of the banners on the site, and go check out awesome stuff from Game Shark. While we don't have any video game accessories, we do have clothing, which is equally, if not more important than video game accessories. Depending on how you look at it.
So that's debatable. I can go a whole day without wearing clothes.
Yeah, but like if I try to go more than 24 hours without a Guitar Hero controller, fuck that. So yeah. Head over to DecimalProducts.com/store and check out some of our equally awesome, if not more so, awesomer stuffs in clothing. That's DecimalProducts.com/store. As always, we're always accepting new design and art ideas. So if you have something you think you'd like, please don't hesitate to send them to bubbywan@DecimalProducts.com or post them in the t-shirt design thread on the forums. If you like it, we'll put on a bunch of products, and if you send us art and we use it, we'll pay you based on how well the products sell. If you have an idea, we'd love to hear from you, but unfortunately we won't be able to use it. Sorry. But art, we use it. Those things sell, you will be paid.
Don't you mean we won't pay them? You said we won't be able to use it.
Oh, okay, sorry. If you have an idea, we won't be able to pay you, but we will credit you and stuff like that. So, sorry. If you send us art and we use it, we will pay you. If you send us a design idea and we use it, we won't be able to pay you, but we can credit you. Sorry, it's business. Stuffs. And, of course, it's at the bottom of the page, so I should probably mention it. We're doing Extra Life again this year. So for those who still don't know, Extra Life is a charity that is run every year. It is a 24-hour gaming marathon to help raise money for the Children's Miracle Network hospitals within our area. We have a team set up this year, again, to try to help raise money. So if you want to help contribute, please go to DecimalProducts.com/extra-life. That'll take you to our team page. There you can contribute to whichever one of us you want, contribute to the team itself, or you can join the team and help us fundraise. Every penny donated goes directly to the hospitals that we're supporting, and it's all tax deductible if you're into that sort of thing. So yeah, the event is happening on November 2nd from 8 a.m. to 8 a.m., or whenever you can do it, if you can't do it on November 2nd. And so yeah, Bovion, if you donate to him, he has tiers of rewards and stuff, I guess.
Yep.
I don't. The only reward you get for donating to me is the satisfaction that you help save some kids' lives. I know it's not much, but I think it's something.
Oh, it's a lot. That's huge.
Yeah. So like I said, it is DecimalProducts.com/extra-life. The link is at the bottom of the page in the footer. It's the big Extra Life logo. Please head over and donate or join the team and help us fundraise. Anything you can do to help out will be greatly appreciated by us and the children whose money is going to. I'm your host, the Dead Man. Joining today, as always, we have Bovion.
Hello.
Yeah. It's getting lonely. Like I'm not used to it. Like every other podcast we do, we have at least one other person.
Yeah, at least usually for movies we do.
Yeah, like movies, it's okay because every once in a while, you know, we'll just do it by ourselves, and you know it's fine because that way that podcast is, you know, under 5 hours long or something. Those things go fucking long.
Yes, they do. They take up so much of my life.
Yeah, but it's just, it's been so long now that, and the fact
without,
that we do this
without a games journalist is just
and the fact that we do this the day after we do the Anything Cast, where we can have anywhere, we're not going to have anywhere from 2 to 5 other people on that show. At one point, I think we did have 5. At one point, I didn't think we had like 6 people on a podcast at one time.
Yeah, we had a giant Anything Cast. I can't remember when it was, but
it was a while back, when like 2 games journalists ago. So yeah. Anyway, video games. Enough about our fucking depressing, like, hiring rate for video games journalists. Bobby, what have you been playing?
Not a lot that's new, so I'm unfortunately not going to be able to talk for very long, but I guess I can go over some new stuff about the stuff I've already played, and okay, let me just get into the shit I've been playing.
Please.
I'm going to start off by talking very briefly about Left 4 Dead. I'm still doing my videos of that. Just watch those. They're goddamn entertaining. At least most of them are.
Yeah.
And I don't trust Phil Green anymore.
I wouldn't trust him at all. He just kind of came the fuck out of nowhere. You could barely hear him in the video.
Yeah, yeah. There's that issue. I can't hear him while gaming either. I just sort of get the gist of it. It's like gaming with Boomhauer. You don't quite know what he's saying, but you kind of get it.
Yeah, it's like, I'm trying to say it in jail, man. Okay, tank? I think. Either tank or spitter, I don't know.
And there was, of course, you know, the frequent setting of people on fire.
Yep. Well, it's Left 4 Dead. Someone has to be on fire.
It's pretty much a fucking rule.
Yeah. It's like rocks fall, everyone dies. Fight, people have to be on fire in Left 4 Dead.
Then again, as another point, I was playing it at a friend's place with a bunch of people, including Starchild, and he was, like, really tired, but he's one of those people who, when he's really tired, doesn't admit it.
Yeah.
And just watching his reaction times for when he was playing was kind of hilarious. He's like, stop. Turn. Look down. Pick up item. Look back up. Turn back. Oh, I'm dead.
No, I wouldn't even, like, with the way they say reaction, it wouldn't be that. Just, like, turn around. Oh, I'm dead. And I just love to see someone who's just like so fucking out of it that even his like reaction time for something like a jump scare is delayed. That would be great. Just a hunter jumps on him. A hunter jumps on him like a second late, like 3 seconds later. Oh fuck, a hunter! Someone help!
Yeah, I can't really talk about Left 4 Dead too much, so I'm going to move on to Mass Effect 2.
Mm-hmm.
My only brief pieces on that is that I've actually let Grunt out now.
Oh, goody. You gotta have a Krogan.
Yeah, and I had a wonderful little moment there when I went all Renegade with... Apparently, whether you go Renegade or Paragon, you're holding the gun to his side while basically telling him to not kill you. It's just, if you're Paragon, you're a bit nice about it. If you're a Renegade, you're just like, dude, I'm Commander fucking Shepard.
Yeah. I will fucking Renegade you through this window, motherfucker. I've done it to a journalist, I'll do it to you.
And great interaction with Edie. Probably one of my favorite lines from all of Mass Effect so far. I won't be told what to do on my ship by my ship.
Yeah. It gets really weird when Edie becomes a person. Yeah, when you get to Mass Effect 3, you'll understand what I mean.
Yeah, I'm sure I will.
It is just... It introduces confusing things.
I'm sure Mass Effect is a bit of a confusing universe until you, like, really... jump into it head first.
Yeah. Is there a word that means you have a fetish for spaceships? I want to know this. Someone out there.
Aeronomicophilia?
Delighter. Let me know. I know you know.
I'm going to say aeronomicophilia. Yep.
Okay, whatever.
yeah, that's all I gotta say about Mass Effect 2. I'm gonna have something at least interesting to say by the end here. So Minecraft. I'm gonna touch once again only briefly on this one. There's been some new shit added. I have not looked at any of it because it's stuff like the end and the Ender Dragon, and that shit takes a long time. I've just been building and streaming.
Yeah.
And I have this bad habit of ending a stream and be like, oh, I have a few more minutes for that video to export. Well, I'm just gonna do a bit of building while I'm waiting. Like half an hour later, look at all this shit I've done. I didn't stream any of it.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, it's like, I just played Minecraft for a bunch of time while on the stream. And not that my interesting things have happened. What should I do? I should play more Minecraft. And not stream it. Because I did enough, I guess.
Well, it's because I like finish an export, I start uploading, I've got another export going. Just like, okay, I need to wait for that export to be done. But then I get into building.
Yeah, it... I do not have the time for that game. I spend enough time procrastinating doing stuff that I need to do. I don't need something else to distract me from doing it.
I know exactly what you mean, because, like, with my current video release schedule, I keep myself pretty busy, and I'm behind right now because I have a social life.
Yeah, I just started catching up on all the news I had to put up. Like, this is the first time in, like, months where my news folder has a stretch through the entire height of my screen. It's a fucking miracle.
I still got a movie review that isn't too old to actually publish, but I should probably get that done.
I have a personal issue that's 3 months late. It's... We are horrible people.
I don't know if I can
top
that. Okay?
We are horrible people, okay? We don't work. We are shipless and work shy. We're sorry, okay?
I have a script I've got to write.
Maybe if you bought a couple t-shirts every now and then, it might be able to work for you. Just
yeah,
saying.
Making money really motivates us.
Yes.
Which is why I'm trying to produce so much more video content, because eventually it will earn me money. Like, I had a video earn me, like, over $1.
Oh!
I was so happy.
But then you realize it was that video that would just complete shit of you freaking out in an elevator.
No, that's not even monetized.
Oh.
It was one of my recent ones.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Everything else makes, like, nothing.
Well, good for you. If only most of my videos actually did get monetized and weren't, you know, blocked because of third-party content.
That's pretty much how most of my Mass Effect 2 videos are going.
That's how every one of my Azura's Wrath videos go. Which is a shame, because those are awesome! I unlocked the fucking Ninetales cloak and used a fucking GB bomb to blow up a space armada.
And, yeah, I find when my gameplay videos get monetization blocked, it's not because of the game, it's because it's something in the fucking soundtrack. And actually, my first one to get blocked, I found out what the sound was. It was a sound effect that they used. During Shepard's whole, like, surgery scene.
Okay. They blocked the video because of a sound effect.
One of the sound effects was owned by a third party.
That seems completely reasonable. And not at all petty.
They want to earn money for their sound effect.
Yep. And so because they used one sound effect in a video that's 10 minutes long, they deserve all the money.
Yeah, it's not like we should share or anything. It's not like I record, edit, upload, annotate all those videos.
Yeah. Moving on.
Sure.
Please.
So moving on. I have to talk about Halo Reach briefly.
Okay, we haven't talked about that. I don't think we talked about that in depth, though. Like, we haven't really gotten that into it before.
I think I got into it when I rented it and played the campaign. But I guess I haven't talked about the multiplayer too much, other than zombies. I mostly play zombies, to be honest. Which is still really fun if you're playing Alpha Zombies. Any other mode is not so fun. And yeah, just freaking zombies is still really fun on that game. Since you wanted me to talk about the multiplayer, it's the main saving point of the multiplayer. Although some of the other multiplayer modes are fun, I don't spend a lot of time playing them. I do play SWAT, but SWAT is the one thing that was improved in Halo 4, and it's like the only thing that was improved in Halo 4 for the multiplayer. And that's why I never ended up writing a review for that, because that would be my review right there, those two sentences.
Everything else was fine, but everything else
everything
was worse except
fine,
SWAT.
Fine, but the same or worse in the case of zombies. So it'd be like, everything was the same as Halo Reach. SWAT was better. Zombies was worse.
Come on, we're reviewers. You should be able to find a way to like stretch those two sentences out to like 1,000 words.
I probably could if I really tried, but
that's how I write everything I do. That's probably why it's taking so goddamn long to do the fucking first. Whatever.
Anyways, yeah, and I discovered a new game mode the other day that I didn't know about.
And what game mode is that?
Another mode I enjoy playing is Firefight. Because, you know, I like killing Covenant with a DMR. I like getting headshots and just mowing down some Covenant.
Yeah.
But playing Firefight can get really fucking hard.
Oh, yeah, totally. Yeah, Punchatron and I used to play that a lot when we were roommates.
Like, he had some hunters and some elites and some brutes coming in. Or if they give the grunts a fuck ton of fuel rod cannons.
Yeah, just going there, just going like there on a mission where it's like nades and like rocket launchers only. It is just pandemonium.
Now, there.
And
there
if you add grunt birthday on there too, that gets even crazier.
Well, I'm about to talk about that because it's like that but better.
Yeah, because like in Reach, I'm pretty sure like grunt birthday has splash damage. So you can shoot a grunt in the head. His head will explode in confetti, and then it'll kill the other. And then like at one point, there was a bunch of grunts running toward me. They're all suicide grunts. I shot one in the head, like had grunt birthday on. Then it went off. It killed the other two grunts. Then all three of their bodies exploded. It was awesome.
So there's actually a subcategory of Firefight that I discovered. Now, this Firefight mode is surprisingly hard, but you only have to do a single wave to win.
And what mode is that?
Gruntocalypse,
okay.
Gruntocalypse. Basically, it's nothing but grunts, a lot of grunts, and every single skull is on.
Oh, fuck.
So you get stuck a lot.
Yeah, I'd guess so.
But with every skull being on, that means Grunt Birthday Party is on. And it automatically gives your loadout, your initial loadout, is automatically a DMR and a pistol.
Well, not that you'd know that, because with all the skulls on, your guns are invisible. Right?
I don't.
We're talking about Reach, right? Because like I played Reach. Again, I played Reach Punchatron. Going through those things, we had to go to like the legend. We had to go to like the legendary things, like with like where you had like go through mission on legendary with all the skulls on. You turn on those skulls, your guns disappear. They're still there, but they're invisible, so you don't know what you have at any time or how much ammo you have for it.
That's odd, because that didn't happen there, and it showed all the skulls. Maybe it did cut out one skull.
Huh.
I don't know. It is possible that it cut out a skull.
That's possible. I'm just hallucinating.
One of us is right here, and one of us is wrong, and I don't think we're ever going to figure it out.
Let us know in the comments. They won't. So yeah.
Awkward silence. So yeah, it's a short game, but it's a fun game. You die a lot. You use up a lot of your lives. But at the same time, you get to just run around shooting grunts in the head and watching them explode in confetti.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always fun.
As a note, I was actually playing this on a friend's Xbox, not on my own. I didn't have my profile.
Mm-hmm.
So they had a bunch of credits saved up. And the first thing I did is I'm like, I'm going to go get you Nathan Fillion's voice because there's nothing... There's nothing more entertaining in Halo Reach Firefight than having that voice.
Wait, you mean they didn't already have it?
No, he thought he did, but he didn't.
What the fuck?
It's funny, because he's a huge Firefly fan, but like he doesn't play Firefight very often, so...
The first thing you do when you get enough credits is buy Nathan Fillion.
I don't have my copy of ODST right now. Once I have it again, myself and my other two huge Firefly friends we're going to play as Mal, Wash, and Jane. Because they're not just the actors, they are the characters.
Yeah.
They match up too perfectly to not be.
Yeah. What do you think happened to the rest of the cast? Why did they just go like whole hog? Like they got like half the cast, but they didn't get the other half? What do you have just like, yeah, fuck that noise, video games?
I don't know whether it's they didn't expect people to recognize the other ones, or they didn't think the other ones were as popular.
I want to know if they were even like approached.
Yeah, that would be a cool thing to find out. Because,
yeah,
it was clearly like that game was like a big Firefly game fanboy orgasm into the Halo universe. It
was a Firefly circle jerk.
Onto a Halo 3 disc.
Yeah, they were playing Gookie Cookie with Halo Reach. I mean, Halo 3, sorry. For those who don't know what the game I just mentioned
ODST is. ODST was born.
Yeah. There's a bunch of guys standing around in a circle jerking off to a copy of Halo 3, then all of a sudden, boom, Halo 3 ODST. We're disgusting. We really are. Moving on.
But yeah, that's it for what I've been playing. I haven't gotten into any new games over the past couple weeks.
Well, I have.
Well, let's hear about them.
But first, actually, let's start with the old one. Because some shit's been happening in fucking Borderlands 2. So for one thing, I have started using a TDR shotgun. TDR is a manufacturer of weapons in the Borderlands universe. And they're shotguns. When you reload them, you throw the shotgun away and then the shotgun explodes. And then you grow a new one.
Shotgun explodes and you grow a new one.
Yes. That's just reloading. It's fucking amazing, dude. So anyway, so some things that have happened in Borderlands 2. So, have you played Borderlands 1?
No.
Okay, so well, in the Borderlands universe, you're playing as a Vault Hunter, and the Vault Hunter is always aided by the Guardian Angel, which is an AI program that's been like lives on the planet Pandora and helps you get to the vault. That's her entire existence. So, you know, she's always been an AI, but then we eventually learn that she is a siren, like an actual human being, kept in a giant fucking ball thing underneath Pandora, and she's also Handsome Jack's daughter. Handsome Jack being the antagonist of the game.
Huh.
You then kill her. Then Handsome Jack just pops the fuck out of nowhere and kills Roland, the soldier from the first game. One of the original four Vault Hunters.
Well, that sucks.
It's given no pomp. It's given no like heroic send off. It's just boom, dead. Yeah, but the big thing, like the death that hit me the hardest, was the death of Bloodwing. For those who don't know, in the original Borderlands, you could play as Mordecai the Hunter. Mordecai's special ability was that he had a bird named Bloodwing. Bloodwing would fly out, kill enemies, and collect items for you. Bloodwing could be modded in such ways that, you know, gave her fire abilities or lightning abilities or corrosive abilities. So what Handsome Jack did was he kidnapped her, fueled her with so much iridium that she grew into the size of a building, gave her every single a power possible, then blew her the fuck up in front of you. As someone who played Mordecai for both playthroughs with over 50 hours of gameplay, I was heartbroken.
I can imagine.
Yeah, especially having Mordecai in your ear screaming, "No, what happened? Like, is she okay?" Just, "No, Bloodwing, you fucking asshole." And you see him go into fucking deep depression and swear vengeance on anyone who stands before him. Borderlands 2 is really good.
Shit is harsh, though.
Fuck yeah, dude. It's Borderlands don't give a fuck. And yeah, it's a bit weird, like going from a scene like that and having your character like not emote at all to a scene where you have to help a bunch of Irish people fight off a bunch of hillbillies.
That is a bit of an odd disconnect.
Yeah, it just goes from one of the most dramatic scenes throughout the entire game series to Irish versus Hicks, the video game. And they have to shoot a midget off the back of a giant guy who then starts crying while they kill him, and his name changes to Mourning. His name for starters is Cletus or something, and then it changes to Mourning Cletus after you kill his little midget that rides around on his back. And there's also like midget Goliaths that have midget psychos running around on their back shooting at you. This game is really weird, okay?
Everything I ever hear about Borderlands is very strange.
They're fun games, though. It's just, you know, if you have... The thing is, they have some of the less liked elements of RPGs in them, like the fetch quests and the, you know, running around to various corners of the map. Just enemies fucking everywhere. Sometimes you have random encounters. There are random encounters in this game that are really weird. That I kind of hate the game for, but not enough, but not to the same level that I hate, you know, Pokemon or Final Fantasy. Because in Pokemon or Final Fantasy, the reason I hate their random encounters is because they fuck any sense of game flow right up the ass. You're just walking along, everything's fine, then all of a sudden, you can't move, the screen flickers, everything dissolves, and you go into an entirely different area that is completely devoid of where you were before. Like, let's say you're just walking around enjoying the scenery. You know, you're on your way to Pallet Town or something. You're just trying to do some fucking bullshit. You're like seven steps away from where you need to go. And then everything stops and the world dissolves. And then you're in an entirely different area, someplace you've never seen before, and some fucking thing is in front of you. Just imagine how much that is. That pisses me off every time that happens. And also, it also sucks because you can't skip it. You can't just say, "Oh, look, a battle." Press a button, then jump right into the battle. You have to wait for everything. You have to wait for the fucking thing to dissolve, and then the world to slide away. Then you guys slide back in, and then you know the monster show up with the sweeping camera angles to him do his bullshit. It breaks any sense of game flow that those games have. But in Borderlands, you're just running along, and all of a sudden, boop, monster. Okay. It keeps things within the flow of the game. It doesn't mess anything up unless you're fighting a wormhole thresher. In which case, not wormhole thresher. I don't know what it's actually called. It's a wormhole something. But it's a specific species of creature that lives underground and then like burrows along and then pops up. And so the wormhole ones, what they do is they suck you into them. They have gravity powers, I guess, which let them like drag in any player character within a certain diameter of them, within a certain distance of them, I guess. And you can't escape until they're dead. So they'll pull you in and then start attacking you over and over and over and over. And you're also surrounded by 17 other weird things that are attacking you over and over and over and over. Yeah, this game is a lot harder than the first one, and I've died way more times than I did in the first one, but I still really like the Borderlands games. So they move on to the new stuff. I played a very bizarre experiment game. Well, experiment in that it's a bit experimental, called Do Not Touch.
Okay.
So it's a browser-based game, and it's done with all, it's basically just your mouse. So what it is, is you go to a certain website. I can't remember what the website's actually called. So just Google Do Not Touch game, and you'll probably find it. And so you go in there, and then it just starts giving you instructions, and you just move your mouse according to those instructions, and there's also music playing over it. And so it starts out, you know, just like kind of stuff like, hey, like, move your mouse along this path, or like don't touch the green, or stay within the green, or do something like this. And then eventually gets to the point where it just turns into a music video, and it says, hey, make a mask, don't touch the model, make a point. And the cool thing about this is, everyone who plays it records your mouse cursor's movements. So while you're moving around, there's also a video going on behind you of like millions of other, like thousands of other mouse cursors moving around and doing stuff like you. And so it kind of just turns into this really weird thing of just watching how other people react to the situations that you are, watching how other people like follow the instructions that you're given. So like it got to the point.
Really cool.
Yeah, so we got to a certain point in the video where there was a model on screen who was like either naked or very, very scantily clad. And so the instruction was don't touch the model. Everyone else moved their mouse cursors away, but then like a few dozen people, they stayed and had their mouse cursors focused over the nipples and the vagina. So it looked like she had a mouse cursor weird stripper outfit on. It was actually kind of cool. Just seeing people, just seeing like everyone, like seeing like thousands of people like following the instructions, and a bunch of other guys were like, no, fuck this, I'm just gonna stick it over. I'm just gonna make sure no one can see your nipples. Yeah.
God, when you put a crowd together, censorship happens.
Yeah, and then there are also like things where like make a mask where you have to like move your mouse cursor over a person's face, and they actually make a perfect mask around their face so that like their like everything's covered up except for like their eyes and their mouth. It's really cool. And it's barely a game and more like a kind of experiment, like a social experiment type deal, but it was still actually kind of fun. Just seeing how other people follow the instructions, knowing that when someone goes out, like someone else goes to play this game, they will be seeing your things too and seeing how you follow the instructions, and it's really interesting. So moving on, I started playing League of Legends. Boy, do I suck
at it. Everyone sucks. Well, not everyone sucks. Really.
Yeah, so here's the situations that I've had. I have played 4 matches of League of Legends. Sorry, my cat's on my computer. Hey, get away from there. So yeah, I played 4 matches. The first match, I played as Wukong, who is a monkey with a stick. I had to quit the match, mid-match, because my cat was freaking the fuck out. And I couldn't exactly go AFK, because that's just rude. So I figured the more gentlemanly option would be to just quit. So then moving to the second match, I played as, I believe it was Karthus, who's a kind of undead warlock person. And just so you guys know, I was playing co-op versus AI in, the first three matches were in, the first two matches were 3v3, and the second matches were 5v5. So yeah, that one I was playing in that one, and we lost. And I did not like playing as him. I did not like playing as Karthus. His attack rate was way too slow. Like his spells, I didn't understand them at first, and then when I actually did understand them, they didn't exactly seem that useful to me. And he just moved too slow. He was too slow for me. Then third match came around, it was 5v5. I was playing as McCoy, I think. No, he was a giant tree. I won that one, and I did not like him much either because his spells were mostly... He had, like, two attack spells and a buff spell, which and the buff spell was, like, his character ability, which didn't exactly work that well for me because I didn't know how to use it. But then getting to the fourth match, I was playing as Morgana, who is a evil vampire queen thing. I actually really liked her. She had this great great combo where... So she had one ability where she shot out a chain, and the first enemy target it hit, it froze them in place for 2 seconds and dealt 80 points of damage. Then she has this other spell where she's able to create a field, like a small area of the ground that causes consistent damage to an enemy as long as they're standing on it. So just hit a guy with hit an enemy champion with that, then put the lantern underneath them. So they're frozen in place for 2 seconds, having taken 80 points of damage, then take all the damage from standing in that area for too long, and then, you know, them having to run out of it, also taking damage there. So far on the two champions that I played as out of the four champions I played as that I really like, Wukong and Morgana are the ones that I really like. You know, the other two were kind of shit. Well, for me, anyway. Yeah, this is the first time I played a MOBA, and I could see myself getting into it. Not so deep as, you know, most people get into it, but I had fun playing it. You said this too, everyone. It's free to play. We'll play together. It'll be fun.
Well, I used to play. I mostly played as Ash.
Yeah, I think that was a character that was like in the tutorial levels. I played as Ash, and yeah, she was fine, but I wanted to try other characters.
Yeah, what I end up doing for her is getting a lot of vampirism and then using the ice arrow to slow people down and just sort of fucking shit up that way.
Yeah, I really hate the fucking ice people because like playing as characters who are already slow, then being slowed down, it was horrible. Yes, League of Legends. I played it and I liked it. It was fun. It was a new type of game that I hadn't played before because I didn't really play Dota or other stuff like that. So I'm going to be getting a bit more into this game. I also have Dota 2, so I might try that out a bit too. Thanks to Dark Star Matrix for sending me that, by the way. He sent me a code for Dota 2.
Awesome.
Which was nice of him. So yeah. Then moving on to the big one. Injustice, Gods Among Us.
Yes, how is that game?
It's pretty good. In comparison to NetherRealm's last game, which is Mortal Kombat, it does enough things to be accessible to Mortal Kombat players, like people who play Mortal Kombat a lot. But it also does enough thing to differentiate itself in that game pretty much, pretty well too. So the combo system uses three buttons. It's light, medium, heavy attacks. And then the fourth button is used as a character power. So each character has their own specific ability that isn't tied into their super meter or their stamina or anything. It's just an ability they have. With some characters, it's a buff. Some characters, it's a parry. Some characters, it's a straight-up attack. Some characters, it's nothing. Like, it's just some stupid bullshit that does absolutely nothing to help them. So, yeah, playing the game, I found that I was more like I was kind of into the Green Arrows ones because the Green Arrow is kind of the guy that I'm considering making my main right now because he seems to be the best one for me. He is though fast, light in his feet. He's able to hit enemies from across the screen, and his arrows also have very different abilities. So you have three arrows you can access. Well, you have four arrows you can access. You have main arrows, which just do some damage. You have lightning arrows, which you do shock damage. Fire arrows, which do fire damage. And then there are freeze arrows, which freeze your enemy in place for a couple seconds.
Those oh-so-hated ice arrows.
Yeah, but the ice arrows actually are fantastic. Because... So, another new system that's introduced in this game. Well, not really new. It's a variation on the X-ray combos. It's the super moves. It is, you know, it's the hero moves or whatever. So with that, you just build your super meter, then you hit both triggers, and then he does some special attack. And like the X-ray moves, these can be blocked or dodged. It's not just an instant hit.
Right.
And so with Green Arrows, what his is he fires an arrow into the ground behind, around where your opponent is, then it explodes, knocking the enemy into the air. I could not tell you how many times before figuring out the strategy that the enemy just would like jump in, that the enemy would just like be just walk out of the range of my arrow or hit me with some other projectile attack after I shot my arrow out, meaning that I couldn't follow up on it. So with this, what I do is I fire the ice arrow, freeze them, then hit my super so that they're frozen in place so that they're within range of the explosion. It's really great. It's fucking awesome. And the super moves, they're all like, they do pretty well of, like, they're all pretty ridiculous. Like with Flashes, who Flash I've also been playing, he's pretty good. He runs around the world to punch you.
I actually saw that one in the battle arena.
Yeah, he'll like punch you, then slow down time, then start running as fast as he can, and then just fucking knock you into the air, then jump back up and punch back down. Doomsday, he punches you through the earth. He'll like grab you three in the ground and just start punching you. You go through the center of the planet, pop out the other side of the earth in an ocean, then he'll swing back around and start punching you again through the earth, see you back in the arena again. Superman will knock you into fucking space and punch you back down to Earth. Batman will tase you with two bat tasers, blow you up with a batarang, and then hit you with his car.
I saw the Jokers. I enjoy the Jokers, actually.
Yeah, the Jokers is great. The Jokers actually does like quite a bit to, you know, just kind of call back to the history of that character. Like, one of his attacks is a crowbar. And it's really cool. And so, yeah, the super moves, they do about 30% of damage. 30 to 40% of damage, depending on which character you are. And, you know, they're all different. Like, some of them are up close. Some of them are, you know, range attacks. Some of them are grabs. And like, while they are really cool, the first few times you look at them, after a while, they start getting a bit, you know, repetitive and a bit long. Much like when playing in the battle modes with your characters. So no matter who wins, each character has a little animation afterwards to do what they do. Unfortunate for me, though, because in the battle modes, I lost a lot. And when you lose, you have to sit through their entire animation. Every time. And some of them can get pretty long. Like Deathstroke specifically, I think his is like 10 or 15 seconds, where he walks up to you, says a snark remark, walks off, and then it cuts to him in a warehouse. He opens up his laptop, then zooms into a screen to show him his next target. Then he sits back down in a chair and starts flipping a knife, and you have to watch it every single time.
Yeah, that's no fun.
No, it isn't. And it gets a nice bit of catharsis, you know, if you're playing as one of the really violent, like playing as one of like the villains or something, because like with the Jokers, his animation is he does you in gasoline and lights you on fire. So playing as the Joker, it's a nice bit, you know, just beat the fuck out of the guy, then light him on fire. It's very cathartic, but with everyone else, it just pisses you off so much.
The Joker.
Yeah. Speaking of the battle modes are actually pretty cool because. Because like with most, because this is like kind of the arcade mode where you fight like ten battles up to the end to get like some weird ending that, you know, doesn't really fit in with the story, and it'll be end of the story mode because there's a story mode in this game. So with the battle modes, there are multiple levels of battle modes. Like there are different ones. There's like a standard battle mode which has the ending, and then after that, it starts, you know, putting qualifiers on the matches where you're like, oh, you're only fighting heroes, or you're only fighting villains, or you're poisoned, or you're in survival mode where your health carries over and you're able to get bonuses and stuff like that. And they're pretty cool, but I have no idea how to unlock other ones. Right now I have, you know, the main battle mode, hero mode, villain mode, poison, and survival. Those are the five that, you know, just come standard, unlocked. And I haven't found a way to unlock those other battle modes, which is annoying. Maybe it's just, you know, you beat it in regular battle with all the other characters, you start unlocking that. I don't know, it's weird. So then the other thing, let's talk about the two things that are the most Mortal Kombat about this game. So the first is the story mode. NetherRealms is doing a very weird thing of actually, you know, trying to have stories in fighting games. where what they'll do is they'll set up a story mode that has a bunch of cinematics in it that then lead into fights, and as you go through the story mode, you switch between the perspective of different fighters. So you get different parts of the story, you get access to a good range of the fighters, so you're able to like mess around with them and figure out who you like playing as best. And so in this one, the story mode is in an alternate universe, the Joker, because he's the Joker, did some weird mind shit on Superman, making him believe that Lois Lane, who in this universe is pregnant with his unborn son, is Doomsday. So Superman, with all his strength, punched Lois Lane in the face.
Ah.
So Lois Lane doesn't have a head anymore, and her child is dead. And the Joker also happened to have a nuke placed somewhere in Metropolis that was connected to Lois Lane's heart. So as soon as her heart stopped, Metropolis got nuked. You know, because he's a Joker.
Yeah, and of course he would use Superman to nuke the city in a really roundabout way.
Yeah. Yeah, so because of this, Superman kills the Joker and takes over the world. You know, as you do. So then come back to the main universe, where the Joker is trying to nuke Metropolis. Odd. A coincidence, but whatever. So as this is happening, it's Batman, Green Arrow, Green Lantern, Wonder Woman, and one other character. I can't remember who it is. So they're all teleported to this universe, where it turns out where like Superman has taken over the world. He's also like outlawed most heroes, and there's a resistance happening that's led by Batman because he's Batman. And so you have to go through the game.
Batman leads the resistance.
And so you go through the game like fighting against different characters, and just trying to stop Superman like free their universe. And like, I will say this, like, I do like this. I do like this like type of story mode. It lets you play with a bunch of different characters. It gives you a pretty interesting story, because I believe this is actually written by some DC people. Like, the game is published by Warner Brothers, who owns DC. So I'm guessing they have, you know, trade writers and stuff. But my biggest issue with this game is that out of a roster of 24 characters, I think they only let you play with 14.
Oh.
Yeah, so you don't get to play as Killer Frost or Ares or Solomon Grundy or Shazam or anyone else. It's just, you know, hey, heroes and the Joker. Fight. And it sucks because, like I said, there's a roster of 24 characters. You get access to like 14. And then if you want to like play any of the other ones, just, you know, fuck off into battles mode. Don't worry about don't bother thinking how they factor into the story. Like, fucking Shazam is one of the main lieutenants in Evil Superman's army. We get to see him, we fight him, and then he dies. Spoiler alert.
Very spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's just, it pisses me off because, for one thing, like I said, half the roster isn't being used. For a second, we only get to see the barest look at this universe from the side of the villains. We only get to see like Superman's perspective on things, and even barely that. We get it all in cutscenes, but I feel like the game might have been, you know, a bit more interesting if we actually were fighting against these heroes. If we actually were, you know, on the side of the Armada every once in a while, like if you played Sinestro, or fucking Solomon, or fucking like Evil Cyborg, or Evil Raven. Or if we played as Raven at all. But we don't. We just get, hey, look, good guys beat bad guys. Yay. And just a little bit, like, they could have done so much more with it.
Yeah, it is a shame when, even in a fighting game, the story mode is not really done well or is wasted.
Like, the story mode, it's a fine story mode. That's the thing. NetherRealms is kind of pioneering the way to introduce story into fighting games. And the story mode, while it has elements that I am not a fan of, like Evil Superman and the fact that Superman and Wonder Woman are together, in an alternate universe because it's an alternate universe, the DC universe, because fuck. They did do some annoying things, but it's overall a good story mode. What isn't good, though, is the tutorials. Yeah,
can
it gives you
game tutorials ever be good?
Probably not. So here's the thing. So in the fighting game tutorials, it is you are only tutorialized in Batman. He's the only character let you play the tutorials as. And with the tutorials, it is the barest bones understanding of how to play the game. It's like how to move, how to kick, how to throw, you're good. No, actually in-depth thing of when certain things would be good to do. Do or stuff like that. But I'm guessing that's where the Star Labs thing comes in, which is the second thing that is very reminiscent of Mortal Kombat. So in Mortal Kombat, they had the Challenge Tower, which was a progressive list of challenges, each of them having their own modifier or their own weird setup thing that you would then fight and, you know, earn credits to unlock stuff in the crypt, which is, you know, their in-game store. So with Star Labs, it's a very similar setup. You have just a string of challenges that you have to fight with very different qualifiers on them. But the difference is in this one, one of the differences is that there is a story, there's a kind of mini story set up with these things. So they're like broken up into character sections. So, you know, you play like seven missions as Batman, you move on to playing as Nightwing, then Deathstroke, then Nightwing, then other people. You don't repeat anyone, but whatever. You know what I mean? And so as you're playing through these things, you know, they have their own setup, but none of them are particularly insane. Like, in Mortal Kombat, there's a bit where Shang Tsung had to fight Shao Kahn, and the reason was that Shang Tsung was shirking his responsibilities looking after their baby. Because Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn had a baby.
Wait, what?
Yep. That was the setup. They were just a baby, just a fucking baby, in the middle of a subway platform. Then Shang Tsung and Shao Kahn walk in, and it's like, it's your turn to look after the baby. It's like, don't shirk responsibilities on me. And then they fight. Sorry, I hit my mic. Yeah, just there. That was insane. And this one, it's, I need to stop Lex Luthor. Come here, Lex Luthor. And they fight.
Real creative.
Yeah. And another thing that's different is in the Challenge Tower Mortal Kombat, it was, you had one objective. Like, either like kill a certain number of things or just fight. In Star Labs, every challenge has three objectives to it. But they don't tell you what the objectives are in the game. Like, there is no little tick, like there is no little like ticker thing on the side saying, hey, do these objectives. You actually have to pause the game, scroll over to mission details to figure out what the things are. They'll tell you what the objectives are in the, you know, mission selection screen. But as soon as you select a mission, then there's an option to go to the next mission. When you go to the next mission, you then have to go into the start menu. You actually have to, so if you want to like go through the missions one by one, excuse me, and actually know what the objectives are going into the missions, you have to beat the mission, then select go back to the fucking Star Labs, then select a new mission from there. And it's just, it's really not very well set up. And it, there are things that this game do that differentiate itself in a way from Mortal Kombat, but they're not necessarily better. They're just different. But then everything that they try to differentiate itself from Mortal Kombat that makes it worse. So the game is not as good as Mortal Kombat. It's still a really fun game. I do recommend it. It's fun. I like it. It's really great. But it just has those elements in it that make it a bit inferior to Mortal Kombat. Which, if you remember from 2012, was my number 5 game of the year. Was it 2012 or 2011?
2011.
Yeah, that was the year Skyrim came out, whatever, what am I talking about? So yeah, 2011, it was my number 5 game of the year for 2011, right below Skyrim. And so yeah, this one is, if we ended up, if we for some reason did Games of the Year's list this year, while this one might be on like a long list, it wouldn't make the short list.
So, yeah. I don't know what would be on my list. I haven't played any games released this year.
But yeah, so yeah, that means that in no way is a bad game. Like, the systems still work really well. The fighting still feels great. The story mode is really interesting. It looks pretty good. You know, aside from iffy things, but like the Deathstroke's face underneath the mask looks kinda like previous gen style graphics. Specifically in the beard. Because you look at like Green Arrow, he has a very similar beard to Deathstroke. His beard is, you know, lovingly detailed. You can see like almost each individual hair. With Deathstroke's beard, it is a clump of texture. Which is unfortunate. But hey, what do you expect? It's Deathstroke. Deathstroke usually has the mask on, so you don't really need to look at his face. But like I said, systems are set up great. It looks pretty good. It plays well. It just doesn't do enough with what it has, or doesn't tell you enough of what it has to offer. So yeah. Guess that's what we've been playing then. On to news then. Yeah. So, first piece of news. Deadpool has released a press release saying that his game Deadpool will be coming out on June 25th.
All right, thanks, Deadpool.
Yeah, so the game will be coming out
a lot.
Yeah, so the game will be coming out on PS3 and Xbox 360 for $50 and on PC for $40, which is kind of odd. I'm not exactly sure what that says about the quality of the games when they're priced like $10 and $20 lower than they usually are. But it could be cool. So in the press release, two pre-order bonuses were also given. The first one from Amazon is that if you pre-order the game from Amazon, you get a $5 credit towards select Marvel graphic novels, as well as an exclusive wallpaper and digital cover sleeve for the game. Second is GameStop, which with pre-ordering offers you the Merc with a Map Pack, which adds two new maps to the challenge mode, the GRT Plaza and Inside the Tower. It also comes with two costumes for Deadpool, one based on his X-Force costume and one based on his D-Pooly look, which is, I guess, his Ali G look. And the costumes are only usable in the Infinite mode, which tracks your stats against, you know, on a global leaderboard against other players. But then GameStop is also offering two U.S.-only bonuses. The first is an exclusive wallpaper that comes with people who are part of GameStop's Power Up Rewards program. Second, the store within the United States that has the most pre-orders for the game will be getting a midnight launch party with a special appearance by Deadpool, all paid for by Activision. So yeah. GameStop and Activision hate Canada.
Yep. I think this has been established long ago.
See, like I said, it's coming out June 25th this year. I'm looking forward to it. And the fact that it's only $50 is great. Because then I'll be able to afford it even more. Yeah. We've got our next news. So, do you remember Project Zwei?
No.
Or Project Zwei, I guess. So this was the thing that was announced last year. That and it was Shinji Mikami and his new company Tango Game Works would be making this game, which would be published by Bethesda, and it would be, you know, kind of Mikami's return to survival horror, because he's been kind of out of it for a while. It'd be his return to true survival horror, and it would probably be his last game as a game director. So that new game has since been, you know, actually fully named The Evil Within. Mikami said in a release that was released by Bethesda, "We're incredibly proud to announce The Evil Within. My team and I are committed to creating an exciting new franchise, providing fans the perfect blend of horror and action." A live-action trailer was also released, which tells us nothing about the game. And since this game was announced, IGN has been running story after story about this game, which we'll probably talk about in news this Sunday on the Anything Cast. And yeah, it's like Mikami was saying that how like there are no true survival horror games anymore. Like how like other stuff like that too. It's kind of weird some of the stuff he's been saying. But anyway, The Evil Within is slated for release on the Xbox 360, PS3, PC, and next generation consoles in 2014. So, are you a fan of Mikami's games? Resident Evil, basically.
Resident Evil, somewhat.
Yeah, I've never really been a fan of horror games in general because I'm a bitch. Like, seriously, like, the reason I'm able to watch, like, horror movies and be fine with them is because I'm not in control and I can laugh at the people who are making the really stupid decisions. But in the game, you are forced to play as someone to make those stupid decisions.
Yeah, it does add a degree more fear to it.
Yeah, that's blame onto you. That's blame onto you. Like, you, it's like you know. You just know that something's going to be happening in there. So you tense yourself up. You're like, oh, fuck, something's going to come. And then something happens. And even if it's just like, you know, a cat jumps out of a refrigerator, I will still shit my pants because, fuck, jump scares. I built myself up for it. But yeah, this could be happening in April 2014. And I could not be more apathetic towards it. I just don't really care.
Yeah, and the idea that survival horror, that there aren't any good survival horror games anymore is bullshit, especially coming from Resident Evil really helped launch the genre, but it's not the best in the genre.
Yeah, I mean, the press release actually did say that Mikami was the father of survival horror. Which
is
okay.
Kind of true.
Yeah.
That doesn't make you the best.
Yeah, I think when he was talking about those games, he was talking about like no survival horror games. I think he meant like in like big box, like actual retail survival horror games.
That is
ones
a
that
good
are,
point. It
ones
is
that are made by like the bigger companies
much
that are actually released to the public that are like out on consoles. Because like on PC, there's been like a thriving resurgence of horror games.
Oh, absolutely. They're everywhere now.
Yeah. And you can find a good chunk of them in Last One Out, our video series hosted by James. Available on DeathStoreProz.com whenever I finish editing them. Plugs!
It's what we do.
Yeah. So, moving on to our next piece of news. Lobo has been announced as the first downloadable character for Injustice, Gods Among Us. So for those who don't know, Lobo is basically a parody of the 90s. He is always painted up, like his skin is specifically, you know, pigmented in such a way that he looks like he's part of the KISS Army. He rides around on a giant motorcycle, he has like arms the size of his body. Yeah, so he's gonna be coming out. He's gonna be the first DLC character released for Injustice. He'll cost you $5 or 400 Microsoft points if you buy him, you know, separately. But if you got the season pass for $15, which is or 1,200 Microsoft points, then you'll be getting him as well as three other unannounced characters. This is exactly what NetherRealms and Warner Brothers did with Mortal Kombat, where they released season pass $15 for $20 worth of characters.
Yeah, I guess it's a way for people to save $5 and a way for them to sell pointless DLC that should have been part of the initial release.
Yeah. Like, Lobo was teased months ago. Like Ed Boon on Twitter, like, posted a picture of Lobo saying, like, how can we make Injustice with a Lobo? And then, hey, Lobo, hey, you want Lobo? And give me $5.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, anyway, I don't believe, a release date has been announced for Lobo yet. But, yeah, he'll be coming soon. So, moving on to space news. Game Informer have released a cover for the May edition, revealing Batman Arkham Origins, the third game in the Batman Arkham series. I don't even know why that fucked me up.
I don't know why either.
Anyway. Yeah, so anyway, the game will take place years before the previous two games, with Batman fairly new to heroing, and, you know, meeting many of the villains for the first time, you know, like the Joker. Deathstroke will be making his debut in the Arkhamverse, as it's been dubbed, and Black Mask. So unlike previous two games, Arkham Origins will not be developed by Rocksteady. Development for the game has been handed over to WB Games Montreal, who previously made the Wii U port of Batman Arkham City. The studio will be given access to Rocksteady's custom Unreal Engine that they've modded for the first two games so that they'll at least have the assets to make the game. And the game will be led by creative director Eric Holmes, best known for his work at Radical Entertainment, where he was the lead designer on The Incredible Hulk, Ultimate Destruction, and Prototype. I am iffy on this.
Well, especially the fact that it's not Rocksteady doing it.
Yeah, well, that and the fact, you know, the guy leading the game, his best known works are the polar opposite of what the Arkham City series has been. Or the Arkham series has been. Which is, you know, subtle stealth stuff with some action bits put into it. The Ultimate Destruction Prototype are insane, like, balls to the wall OTT action stuff. And oh, by the way, you can stealth a bit.
And, like, it's really non-existent in Prototype.
Yeah, I'm guessing it actually isn't existent in Ultimate Destruction. Because, you know, you're the Hulk. It's kind of hard to stealth it up when you're the Hulk.
Never know. You'd be sneaky.
So yeah, anyway, on the same day that Origins is releasing, Batman Arkham Origins Blackgate is also coming out for the Brick of Shit and Vita. This game is a Metroidvania-style game that will take place after the events of the main title. It's being developed by Armature Studios, which is a relatively new studio, formed by the guys who made the Metroid Prime trilogy. That one could be pretty good. Possibly not because of the hardware, but you never know. So anyway, Batman Arkham Origins and Arkham Origins Blackgate are set for release on October 25th for the Xbox 360, PS3, Wii U, and PC for the former, and Brick of Shit and Vita for the latter. And so our final piece of news. Gearbox, the developers of the Borderlands series, as well as Aliens, Colonial Marines, and Duke Nukem Forever, have recently acquired the rights to the Homeworld series of games. So Homeworld is a series that was developed by Relic a while back, and it was a space RTS type deal. And yeah, I don't think a new game's been released from that IP in a while. Like, I am not exactly a big fan of the Homeworld series of games because I don't think I was either that into games or alive when Homeworld came out. Not entirely sure. I'm looking it up now. But yeah, 99 is when they came out. So I was 7 and I had like just started playing like PS2. The PS1. Like I was at a friend's place playing Twisted Metal 3 for like hours on end. So yeah, anyway, there hasn't been a new game in 10 years. So yeah,
well, it's quite a while.
So yeah, Gearbox has scooped the right to this, and this is something they seem to be doing a lot, where they'll just find an IP or like some rights for a game that has been used in a while, and then just scoop them up and try to like shove out a game with them. Like they did it with fucking Duke Nukem. They might have done something similar with that with Aliens, and now they have this. So hopefully the game that comes out won't suck. So Gearbox said in a press release, Brian Martell, Gearbox Software's chief creative officer, has great love and respect for Relic's brilliant, fun, and innovative game and personally spearheaded this acquisition. Brian intends as the first priority to direct Gearbox's interest to preserve and assemble the purest form of the original acclaimed and beloved games, Homeworld and Homeworld 2, with the intent of making them accessible on today's leading digital platforms. So I guess that means PC, 360, PS3.
Yeah. Unless he means, like, tomorrow's leading platforms.
Yeah, so the Wii U? The PS4? Xbox 720 or whatever the fuck
they're
going to
call it.
The Xbox, eventually. Fuck you, you'll buy it.
Xbox, no, I really won't.
The Xbox, just give it up. You know you're going to buy it.
The Xbox, I couldn't afford it if I wanted it.
The Xbox, it doesn't matter. You'll find the way. We know you will. You better, motherfucker. So, yeah, they have this. They're going to be making a game out of it. And yeah, That's kind of it. So that is for news then. Four new releases coming out this week, the week of April 23rd. We have Dead Island Riptide for the PS3, 360, PC, and PlayStation 3 network. Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen, which is the expansion pack for Dragon's Dogma, coming out on Xbox 360 and PS3. Don't Starve, coming out on PC. This is from the Clay, the guys who made Mark of the Ninja. So that might be pretty awesome. And also coming out this week, Thomas Was Alone, the PS3 and PSV ports of the game. And finally, Star Trek the Game for the PS3, 360, PC, and PlayStation 3 network. So yeah, that's going to be happening. Woo. But coming out next week, the week of April 30th, we have Zack Zero for the PC, Soul Sacrifice for the Vita, Deadly Premonition, the Director's Cut for the PS3, Xenoclash 2 for the PC, and Far Cry 3 Dragon Blood for the PS3, 360, and PC. This is the either DLC pack or expansion pack for Far Cry 3 that makes everything all fucking 80s shit. But yeah, this is a standalone expansion pack, actually. So you'll be able to play this even if you don't have Far Cry 3. Awesome. So, that's going to do it for this week, then. Yeah, we need to get a third person on here.
We really do.
Yeah.
We can't afford to keep buying games and...
Yeah, and it'll be nice to have someone else to talk to.
Yep.
But anyway, thank you all for joining us. As always, you can follow us on Twitter. You can follow us at DeathStoreProds. I'm at Deadman_DDProds. And we have at Bellion. You can like us on Facebook at Facebook.com/DeathStoreProds. Subscribe to us on YouTube at YouTube.com/DeathStoreProds. Viz for myself. And YouTube.com/Bellion for Bellion. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave some reviews. Let us know if you want to see more of us, etc. We're also on Stitcher. So download the app. Check us out on there. And we are on DeviantArt. Go to DeathStoreProds.DeviantArt.com. Link is at the bottom of the page. And check out cosplay photos and stuff. We'll have more. Because conventions and stuff happening.
It also depends on how often Ninja Kitty wants to edit.
Mm-hmm. So this week on the website, we're going to be having the anime podcast this Thursday, as well as Anime Club, where we're going to be taking a look at episodes 11, 13, and 14 of Samurai Champloo, wrapping that up. Then this Friday, we're going to be wrapping up Born the BBC month by taking a look at The Singing Detective, which...
That shit's weird.
Yeah. Then this Sunday, we're going to be having Anything Cast live at 5 p.m. Eastern. Please join us at longgames.com/chat. Let me hear from you guys and tell you and hear you know, what you think about already with the site and everything. Then next Tuesday, we're going to be having the Comics Podcast. Next Wednesday, we're going to be having the Comics Podcast. Next Friday, we're going to be having the Movies Podcast, as well as the first commentary track of May, which we'll be announcing what that theme month is on May 1st. But until all that stuff, I'm the Dead Man.
Bovey Wong.
We will see you guys next time.